He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
And I am solo today. I don't have my partner Jay on the show, but I'm going to sort of start out by calling this maybe an observations show. I have a number of topics which I have been brewing over for the last several weeks or months as I have watched car prices rise, car supplies dwindle, manufacturers trying to get vehicles to dealers, dealers trying to get vehicles to customers, and then to the weather, which is making a mess out of our roads. So here we go. I'll start out with rising new car pricing. The prices are going up for listeners who care, and they're going to stay up even when the chip crisis ends and chips are back in plentiful supply, which will make cars production probably back to normal levels and dealers' lots filling to brimful conditions, which will have them probably discounting vehicles once again, which they are not currently doing. But what's happened during this last 2 years is that with the problem in production due to parts components not being readily available, and it really, we talk about it in the reign of the chips situation, is that costs of materials are going up as certain component materials are increasing in prices. Other accessories are also causing price rises and conditions. Delivery charges on vehicles have been rising erratically across the board. The new Grand Cherokee version of the Jeep, which is out and is bigger than the Grand Wagoneer version, bigger than the Grand Cherokee, and the Grand Cherokee L versions now have delivery prices of, I believe, $1,000, or maybe it's even $1,500 per vehicle tacked on to the sticker prices, and that's for the vehicles that come to the dealers on trucks. Delivery prices have been have been near $1,000, but generally lower for a long time. 5 years ago, they were like $695 per vehicle on many vehicles. They have crept up in what I would have observed to be $100 increments, infrequently but periodically over the last several years. So that is one price area that is causing price increases, pricing area that causes price increases on cars. Additional ADMs, additional dealer markups, are prevalent all throughout the car dealers that I have been, not everyone, but many of them that I have been browsing through their lots periodically over the last several months. An Audi dealer in our listing area has got a standard $3,000 additional dealer markup on all their Audi vehicles, new ones, and then there are some additional dealer markups on used pricing, but the used pricing isn't often posted on the cars in the lot, so you don't know that until you start talking about what a used vehicle that might be available is actually costing. But you look at the new vehicles, and they have a side-on sticker attached to the manufacturer's Mulroney, we call it, sticker, and it says $3,000. It may or may not contain some contented physical things added to the car, such as paint protection, window etching, which is meant to be a security situation, which I have commented once before in this show as being an absolute, in my opinion, at least in rural areas, a non-necessary thing for a consumer to pay for. That's usually been $200 or $300, or maybe even as low as $195 per vehicle, and it has every window in the vehicle with some special number etched into it. So if the car was stolen, and maybe before it got taken apart and for parts, it could be located and tracked. But anyways, additional dealer markups are standard throughout, mostly due to the scarcity of product, and they can put it on and they can get it. Because one of the things that's happened through this last 2 years is that with the scarcity of vehicles, dealers have been able to basically stick to window pricing or higher and get it from consumers who have become rather desperate to buy cars. The pent-up demand to buy cars has been made the news over the last few months, and it still seems to exist because there's still shortages, although the dealers, I am seeing lots with increasing numbers of vehicles, both used and new, on them in small contented, in small amounts, that is, appearing in some areas around our listing area. The other final area where there's been an increase in charges on window stickers has been for, I don't know what I could say, non-standard paint colors, because I don't know what a non-standard paint color is. It's not a custom paint color that's not in the normal accessories. If you look online to what you want to build your car online and you see what the color options are. But I have noted that certain manufacturers have started and added prices for colors that are, I don't know what they're not, but for example, the Jeep Cherokee that I own, when I purchased one in 2020, didn't have it in it. A couple of months later, I saw a new supply of Jeep Cherokees with $295 for the same color that I got for nothing few months earlier. So I know that Porsche and Audi have pricing. It's up to four figures in some models for some of the colors that their cars come in, if they've come to the dealers on lots. So that's another area where rising prices have occurred. I'll stop there on that and move to the next topic I want to discuss for listeners, which is the miserable road conditions that are existing around many places in the Northeast, from Vermont down. And it makes focused driving more important than ever, especially on some of the roads that I drive around. In Sharon, Connecticut, for example, right where we broadcast from, there's some pretty bad potholed and broken pavement conditions on what I'll call our Salisbury-Sharon Road, which is Route 41. Also, the road from Sharon to Omenia has a couple of areas where there are some surface deteriorated conditions. And you can hit some of these holes, which are pretty deep, if you are not paying attention, and your car will shudder with the impact of a wheel going into some of the holes that are so deep that they will create quite a jarring feeling in the car. Along that lines, I have watched Connecticut in our area do what I will say is a miserable pothole patching operation on Route 41 when they were here about several weeks before this show in a weather condition that was rainy, and they were trying to put what they call cold patch, I guess it is, in these holes along 41 between Lakeville and Sharon. And what really bothered me was that I saw the truck working, starting at one end of the road and then heading towards the other end, which is, let's say, from north to south. And when I drove by that road later after the work had been done, I would say that probably up to 40% of the holes that had been there before the patching started were still there after the patching had supposedly ended. In other words, they just didn't do a very good job of doing every hole that needed to be patched, in my opinion, from one end of the road that they worked on to the other during the course of that day. But the other part of the problem is when it's raining and the holes are also filled with water and they don't clean the water out other than they pour the cold patch in, which pushes it out, if that area freezes up overnight, anybody who knows about water, when it freezes, it expands. So if it's you've got a cold patch in a pothole that was filled with water and you have freezing temperature conditions, overnight that pothole is likely to reappear pretty quickly so that the patching is uselessly done. The other issue which gets me really riled about road surface conditions is the fact that I have noted that in Connecticut, at least, there's an awful lot of useless plowing going on by the state, and even sometimes the town plows during very light snow conditions, when snow does not build up on the highways significantly and or does not even show up as turning the highway surfaces white, yet some of the drivers of these plows continue to have the plows on the ground, on the surface pavement, trying to plow asphalt. And it is no joke to do this because these plows are heavy and they just, you can watch the blades, sparks come up at sometimes. And if you have an imperfect road condition, which means heaves and erratic surfaces, the plow blades can actually aggravate the idea of deteriorating asphalt conditions because the blades will actually push some of the asphalt out of their area of intended surfacing and create holes. And so that's the issue that has caused, with our weather this year, very bad road conditions. Jill, I'm sure you'll agree, in some of the roads you've been driving. I don't know how the town roads are, but some of our state roads are in pretty bad condition and really need surfacing. The problem that everybody is going to think about when they hit these holes is should they get their front ends aligned? Alignment I've discussed often on this show, and alignment is not necessarily something that you need to just jump and go to. As I have found over time, that alignment, properly aligned cars will stay aligned through quite a long term without needing you to go and get it realigned just because you think you hit a pothole and you think you put your car out of alignment. I do not find alignment, certainly on the newer cars, as being something that seems to go out of alignment, at least in my personal experience of my vehicles. An alignment can cost you anywhere from $95 on the front end to $135, and it's quite an expensive proposition for something that I don't think is needed as often as people might think they need to do it. Now, there's no way for you to really check whether or not your car needs alignment, except unless you're driving on a fairly smooth and a fairly flat surface, and if you release your hands from the steering wheel, your car definitely goes off of a straight line condition and starts pulling one way or the other. That would indicate that a car may be out of alignment and should be looked at, because out-of-aligned cars cause tires to wear prematurely quickly. And with the cost of tires these days, you can wear a tire out much more quickly if you do not have your car in proper alignment. Should you have it checked once a year? With road conditions the way they are around here, I would say for older cars, and that's probably cars that are now entering their third to 10th year, should probably be checked. But I don't think a new car right off the truck and is necessarily going to need an alignment check just because you hit some of these rough road conditions that are popping up in all three states or more states as we move from winter into spring.
I just want to take this opportunity to interject two things that go with road conditions.
Okay.
Only because I did, because we were recording this morning and this happened on a secondary road on the way to work that you travel often. First was a person, you know, out for a stroll, which was great, except they were walking right in the middle of the road. And they were so oblivious to their surroundings that it was good that I didn't hit a pothole. And the second was, we talk about this all the time, but it's how it fits into the ongoing sort of environmental awareness, which you just absolutely have to, one has to work harder at this stage of life, apparently. But the second was, coming down, the person was kind enough to put on their turn signal. So I slowed and very nearly plowed into them because they put their turn signal on a nanosecond before they turned into basically a blind driveway. So from my perspective, I thought, like, okay, I've got a minute. Not literally, but enough time to, you know, let them do their thing. And it was just another example of, hey, there are other people out here.
And I agree with you completely, Jill. This we have talked about the distinct lack of turn signal use, polite turn signal use, I will say politely, but I could say it in a less polite way, that people are just ignoring the fact that this kind of attention to driving would be much better done if they would think about what they are doing and ahead of when they're going to do it. Because you were right. People, I've had the same thing happen to me, and it's happening more often, it seems. I don't know. It does tell me from a safety standpoint that you probably, when you're following traffic in an area where there are lots of areas for people to turn or they might be going to driveways, you should probably leave a little bit more space between you and the driver in front of you, because when the brake lights go on, you don't know whether they're just slowing down,
yeah,
and then the brake lights are going to go off and they're going to speed up, or where they're slowing down to stop or slowing down to turn. And if they haven't got their turn signals on, it really can be very annoying, and you don't have that minute you just said you might have to figure out what's going to happen because you are following so closely. So drivers should pay attention to this kind of thing, both the driver and ahead of the cars if they're planning on making a turn, and the drivers following the cars, because there is not a uniformly good...
there's not a uniformly good... You can't make people do something.
No, you can't.
You just have
and
to take it
in
your
hands.
And if
they're on their phone and or they're doing something else besides driving the car, they come up and they see that driveway that they suddenly need to turn into, and they haven't turned their turn signal on, you run into exactly what you just told the listeners before I chimed in here. A couple of just sort of things about car prices and car sales and all that. It hit the news waves. It's just for anybody who wants to listen. The funding, people are, the debt funding on cars is increasing as people are trying to buy cars. And I heard something that said debt funding on new car purchases are reaching $50,000 in car loans and $40,000 for car loans for used car purchases. Now, we said on this show that the average car price of car sales now nationally is approaching $45,000. A year ago, it was in the mid-30s or high 30s, and 2 years ago, it was in the low to mid-30s. We were saying on this show that the average the new car price had reached $35,000 or thereabouts. That also shows you that that car prices are rising sort of across the board, whether due to accessories that are added to the sticker price, to the base car prices, or to price rises that are going in because dealers are adding on markups, packages of things like car protection and window etching, or whatever they're doing, or just that the car prices themselves, the base prices, are rising. I watch Jeeps because that's what I drive a lot, and I say to my listeners, I actually like the Jeep vehicles so far, and I think their new Cherokees, their new Grand Cherokees, and the Grand Cherokee L's and the Grand Wagoneers are wonderfully new designs of existing models that are no longer existing in that same way. But the prices on the stickers are now at the Grand Cherokee, at the Grand Wagoneer level, they've got several models that are six-figure prices, $100,000 and up. And that just did not exist 5 years ago for those vehicles. So another thing I noted during this very cold winter, and we're rapidly going out of that, and I know we're just about out of time, is that I noticed that the hood washer nozzles were not working on some of the cars I was driving, and there were two basic reasons. One was I didn't clear the snow after a snowstorm off the hood, so the nozzles could get the spray to the windshield, and if you had a lot of snow on it, they didn't cut their way through the snow and make it to the windshield. The other was I found when we had temperatures in the 0 to 18 degrees or below 20 degrees, some of the nozzles were freezing, so the windshield washer fluid, which is supposed to be good for 20 below zero on most of what you buy, and some of them are up to 25 or 30 below, still didn't come out. And the nozzles themselves, which are plastic on the hoods, appeared to be the problem. Because when you stopped the car, I found, and idled it for a few minutes, and whatever would happen in a frozen condition as you were driving along at 50 to 70 miles an hour on an interstate or something, and the nozzles were frozen, you couldn't get your windshield clear, the nozzles would thaw and they'd work. But that's another observation. And are we out of time, Jill?
Just about. So we'll call that your safety tip. And okay. I will say, he is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.